It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Friday, February 5th. I'm Patricia Naft. Smoking is still the leading cause of preventable death in the United States. In Colorado, it kills more people than HIV, illegal drug use, alcohol, motor vehicle accidents, suicide, and murder combined. State data shows nearly 16% of Colorado adults smoke. KVNF's Laura Palmisano looks at how one Western Slope county and the state are trying to help people quit.
In Delta County, one in four adults smoke. Sarah Hall started smoking when she was a teenager.
I really needed to quit smoking. I'd been smoking for 20 years.
It wasn't for a lack of trying. She tried to stop in the Navy, then again when she was pregnant, and again when her father-in-law died of lung cancer. Then she found out she was pregnant with her son.
I wanted to have a much healthier pregnancy this time. I had a lot of labor complications with my daughter, which ended up in an emergency C-section.
Hall signed up for the Baby and Me tobacco-free program offered through the Delta County Public Health Department. The program helps expecting moms quit. It also offers incentives. For instance, the health department provides up to a year's worth of free diapers if the mother stays smoke-free. Health educator Karen O'Brien says this is one way the county is trying to address the issue. It also works with the school district, hospital, and health providers to educate the public about the dangers of tobacco use. O'Brien says the most effective changes the county can make are smoke-free policies.
Working in policy change at different organizations really can encompass the most individuals. And the sustainability factor is, for some reason, if our funds get cut, which they do all the time, those policies are still in place.
Several years ago, the county banned smoking inside public housing. And last year, it worked with the local technical college on implementing a tobacco-free campus policy. Data from Rocky Mountain PBS News shows smoking rates vary across the state. In Douglas County, the wealthiest county in Colorado, only 8% of adults smoke. Huerfano County, one of the poorest, has the highest rate at 31%. Jill Bednarik oversees the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment's Tobacco Policy Initiatives Program. She says smoking rates are linked to socioeconomics.
Low-income communities, their prevalence was nearly three times that of their higher-income counterparts at about 27%. So we see very significant disparities in tobacco use based on income level, education level. Those are, I think, probably the two biggest factors.
Research shows low-income individuals are usually dealing with more stress, like living paycheck to paycheck. That's why it can be harder for them to quit. Bednarik says what seems to work is increasing the immediate cost. She points back to 2004 when Colorado voters approved boosting the excise tax on a pack of cigarettes by 64 cents.
We did see a very, a significant drop in prevalence right after that. Tobacco price increases are known to be particularly effective with youth, low-income smokers, and pregnant women who are trying to quit.
She says raising the purchase age to 21 could also reduce use. In 2014, state lawmakers proposed doing just that, but the bill died in committee.
When the age is 18, there's older kids that have products that are making it available for younger kids, as well as illegal sales happening in retail outlets across the state. When the age in other states has gone up to 21, then they do see a decrease in use and initiation, particularly among those younger kids.
Still, Colorado's efforts are paying off. The state has seen a steady decline in smoking rates for the past 25 years. On average, the state gives $6 million annually to counties to combat tobacco use. It funds programs like the Delta County one that helps Sarah Hall quit.
I've done some pretty great things in my life, I think. Certainly having two children and being in the military, being in college, and traveling the world. But I really think that quitting smoking was the hardest thing I ever did.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It's been 2 years since Hall had a cigarette, and she says it was the best choice for her and her family. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
The Olathe Ambulance District held a meeting Wednesday night to make the public aware of the dire financial straits the group is in. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The district joined the Olathe Fire District in 2001 and soon received a 1% mill levy to provide basic funds. The semi-volunteer EMTs were, and are, paid out of revenue from billing for services, like a ride to the hospital. That model was working, but things have changed. Christine Gray, the secretary for the Olathe Fire Protection District, says the numbers for last year show the problem.
We had 456 ambulance calls that we responded to. Out of that number, 72% were insured through Medicare and Medicaid.
Medicare and Medicaid, says Gray, limit how much that they can bill for. At the same time, the district is responding to more calls, pulling their budget in opposite directions. They finished last year with a deficit of about $56,000.
Right now, we did have to endure some pretty severe budget cuts to make things happen. We have had reserve funds to fill in the gaps for the shortages lately, but that's cutting into monies that are designated for major equipment replacements.
In an attempt to reverse this recent trend, they're changing their billing, looking into grants, and will likely be putting a request to voters to raise the mill levy by 3%. She says it would bring in an additional $156,000 a year for the fire and ambulance district, covering the increase in costs that they see. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
The latest numbers are out for snowpack in Colorado, and things are looking good. Right now, snowpack is 112% of normal for the beginning of February. It's a slight surplus that will help going into the coming months, according to Brian DeMoncos with the Colorado Snow Survey Program.
Hopefully, we will continue to see above average to at least average precipitation through May before things start running off.
It's especially refreshing news compared to last year's unusually dry winter. Snowpack in the San Juans is almost double of what it was this time last year. A bill that would give terminally ill patients the option to take medication to end their lives failed in a Senate committee on Wednesday on a party-line vote. A similar bill got its first hearing yesterday in the Democratic-controlled House Judiciary Committee. Benta Berkland has more.
The end-of-life options bill would apply to patients with a diagnosis of less than 6 months to live. Two physicians would need to approve the medicine, and the patient must be mentally competent to make the decision and administer the drug. Jolyn Dewsbury was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer last April and testified in support of the bill.
If I could choose a pain-free, peaceful death today, I would be living a more serene life. More time given me just means more dying and more suffering.
Patients with terminal illnesses, those who'd lost loved ones, physicians, and other medical professionals testified both in support and opposition to the measure. Bill Boathouse is a physician who does not back the bill. He says it would breach the trust between doctors and patients.
It defies the Hippocratic tradition of 2,500 years of Western medicine. We do not give any drug with the intention of killing the patient, even when asked to do so.
Republicans on the Senate State Veterans and Military Affairs Committee agreed to defeat the measure. Now it's up to lawmakers on the Democratic-controlled House Judiciary Committee to decide whether to approve or defeat a similar bill. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.